Hello, and welcome to the Breakthrough Coaches podcast coaching series entitled The End of the Open Door Policy, Making Office Days Work for Everyone. I'm Jill Pankost, Vice President and Managing Partner of the Breakthrough Coach. If you're listening to this session, you're a graduate of our two-day program, How to Work Less, Produce More, and Still Get the Job Done in a Sensible School Week. The purpose of this audio series is to support our alumni in the on-the-job implementation of the two-day program. As with any new program you undertake, challenges will arise. You'll have burning questions for which you'll want answers. You'll come to decision-making crossroads that call for out-of-the-box solutions. And inevitably, breakdowns will happen. Our podcast series is designed to support and encourage you through those make-or-break moments, so that you thrive as an administrative team. Last session, I talked about what it takes in terms of communication and coordination to make your coaching days work for everyone in your organization. In this session, I'm going to talk about the flip side of the coaching day equation, that is, how to make your office days effective. One of the most detrimental habits I deal with when coaching administrators is their penchant for maintaining an open door on their office days, or as they put it, having an open door policy. Aside from improved air circulation, an executive's open door simply invites interruptions of all kinds, including, "Got a minute? Can I talk to you for a sec?" or "What you doing in here?" Most secretaries confide in me that they have at least one persistent staff member who actually stakes out the front office, hanging around their administrator's open office door, just waiting for an opportunity to pounce. Inevitably, this open door policy ends up derailing the administrator's calendar, upsetting the balance of power between staff and secretaries, and leading to countless nights and weekends spent completing office work. As Malachi warned during the two-day, executives who make themselves available to anyone, for anything, at any time, end up putting in longer work weeks and complete fewer coaching days. When I question my clients about their open-door policy, they insist they must keep their door open, otherwise, quote, "people will think I'm whatever." Please feel free to end this sentence with the most dramatic negative adjective you could possibly imagine. My first response to this hyperbole? How do you know what people would think if you closed your office door? Have you polled your entire staff on this issue? Really? And they all responded negatively to the idea? Really? I'll never understand why human beings, given the opportunity to try something new and potentially effective, are so inclined to envision the worst possible outcome. I, for one, choose to take a different perspective on this issue. Of course, now, I would agree, if you suddenly did a 180 on your staff and went from door always open to door always closed with no conversational setup whatsoever, you'd probably get some heavy-duty pushback from certain people. But over these last several months, you've learned something about how to appropriately prepare your various constituencies to adapt to and adopt your TBC practices. Let's now build on what we know works when introducing any new concept to a tightly knit group. First of all, you need to understand the terms you're using and the contextual framework inside of which they fit if you want to successfully translate your intentions to others. Let's begin by re-examining the open door policy. As Malachi referenced in the two-day, the open door policy is just that. It's a policy. The original purpose of the policy was to encourage staff at any level of an organization to communicate directly with anyone else in the organization, so long as they went through the appropriate channels to do so. The open door policy does not mean having a constantly open door so that anyone can interrupt the executive at any time. Administrators, take note. If you want a career and a life, then you must close your door on your office days and get your work done. Hanging out for pleasantries and chit-chat is completely appropriate on coaching days, and I would strongly encourage you to do so when you're out and about. However, if someone wants to speak to you on an office day, it requires valuing the time of everyone involved. This is not a radical concept. It's just good resource management. Now, you understand this, your secretary understands this, and I understand this. However, artful conversation is required when explaining office days to everyone else in your organization. You want to be able to outline the concept in a manner that doesn't put people off, but rather has them realize that by adhering to your new rules of the road for the front office, they're going to get more of what they want in less time. And what they want is you. I recommend you introduce the idea of office days in conjunction with, or as a part B to, your conversation with staff about coaching days. Remind them again that you'll be out in the building, circulating amongst classrooms and communal facilities for 2 full days every week. These coaching days will put you out where the action is happening, completely available to staff to handle their most pressing questions and concerns in the moment, for a minimum of 10 hours a week. You'll be in their classrooms regularly, witnessing teaching and learning in real time, and talking with them on an ongoing basis about what you're seeing. This is your job as an instructional leader, to train and develop them to improve their craft. Note that your frequent presence around the building should also dampen down any persistent discipline issues, as well as help to familiarize you with certain students and behavior, an added benefit when meeting face-to-face with parents to discuss their children. Once you've relayed the groundwork about why coaching days, you're then going to connect the concept to office days. Tell your staff, quote, "And when I'm not out there with you, I'm going to spend 3 days a week working in my office behind closed doors to deliver on the promises I made to you out in the field. I'm using my days in the office to facilitate the needs of our entire school community so that your requests for support are actually fulfilled." Emphasize that these 3 days are not designed for you to handle discipline or process kids through the front office simply because you're there. Your office days are the infrastructure that enables your 2 coaching days to happen consistently every week. By the way, executives, the reverse is also true. Mark my words here. If you don't do 2 coaching days every week, you'll never get your 3 office days in and you'll never leave work before 7 p.m. Why not? Because if teachers can't get to you on their turf, they'll storm the front office to get to you on yours. That's why you practice implementing coaching days first. Now, once you've presented both scenarios, coaching and office days, in their entirety, your staff will more than likely make the determination that this new scheduling methodology is really quite a good deal for them. Now you can segue into a conversation about how best to interact with your secretary in order for front office operations to flow smoothly and efficiently. This is the space in which to address the "please make an appointment" issue by tactfully backing into your request. So you could say something like, "Actually, I want to talk to you on my office days. I'm never too busy to have a conversation with any of you. In fact, from time to time, I will insist we meet during my office days to resolve various instructional and/or operational issues together. I want and need your input on these matters. But when I have a conversation with you, I need to hear what you have to say. My conversations with you are not casual. They're focused, intentional, and purposeful. And the best way for me to be focused, intentional, and purposeful is for us to have a scheduled appointment together where we can close the door and talk, knowing that we won't be interrupted." Now you could continue with, "The person who's going to make these appointments happen is my secretary. She's accountable for my calendar and for carving out time for us to meet on my office days. Have my secretary schedule a block of time for us to meet on an office day, and I will definitely keep that appointment." Assure them that if it's personal, they don't need to tell your secretary what the meeting is about. Just give her a sense of how long you think it will take, 15 or 30 minutes. Again, you're presenting time boundaries that work for you while still giving them a choice. If a personal conversation takes longer than 30 minutes, that's called therapy. And you're not licensed to do therapy. So it's 15 or 30 minutes, completely appropriate choices given the nature of your job. You could also add, if you want to talk to me about complex logistical or student issues, please come prepared for our meeting with any documentation you think we'll be looking at together. And allow me to prepare as well by telling my secretary what I'll need to bring. Note to secretaries here, when scheduling a meeting for your executive, always ask, is there anything my administrator needs to bring to this meeting that would support the conversation? These questions, asked and answered before any conversation with the executive takes place, result in the following benefits. 1. It encourages staff to generate their own professional development by coming to meetings focused and prepared. 2. Staff learns to bottom line it with you so that they can get what they came for and still value your time. 3. The executive can bring their thoughtful, undivided attention to all important aspects of the job. By the way, and I'm asked this question a lot, serious instructional coaching conversations are scheduled on your office days, no more than 20 minutes per conversation in a face-to-face meeting at your conference table. This level of training and development cannot happen effectively out on the court while the game is in play. Secretaries, you need to schedule some time every week for your executive to have these instructional coaching conversations on their office days. And 4, casual, non-urgent matters are discussed freely on coaching days, significantly decreasing office day interruptions and increasing the possibility that all front office staff can leave work on time. Executives, for your part, you need to make sure your office days go down as promised. Follow your secretary's instruction for the day so you're on time and present for all invited guests. When a staff member comes in to meet with you, mute the phones, close your laptop, and shut the door. Start and end the meeting on time. The executive's time is a precious resource, not one to be wasted or haphazardly consumed. Executives, it's your job to train and develop your entire organization to interact with you like that. It's your responsibility to treat your time as a valuable commodity. Then others will too. Mark Twain said, quote, "Challenges are what make life interesting. Overcoming them is what makes life meaningful." Honoring your office days is a challenge both you and your school are up to. Make it matter to your school and thus to your quality of life.